believers, people who said they had received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We talked a little about the program of the early church, and this is given in Acts 2:42, where there was teaching, there was fellowship, there was the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, and there was prayer. We mentioned also the relationship with other churches, and I feel this is very important, that as we see the early church, each church was independent as far as organization was concerned. The apostles never established any organization binding churches together, but there were spiritual ties. I like to think of it as a family where children grow up, they get married, they set up their own homes, and these homes are independent. They're run by the father and mother in each home, and yet there are these ties, these close ties with the parents, there should be, and there's this relationship that is of a spiritual nature rather than an organization tying families together. And this is the way it should be as far as local churches are concerned. Now, baptism was a part of the teaching of the early church. When people accepted the Lord Jesus, when a person accepted the Christ as he heard the gospel being preached, and he from his heart, he said, I want this Savior for my Savior. I do believe he died for me. I believe he's risen. I believe he's coming back. I want to accept him. When this happened, those early men of God, as they went about preaching, immediately encouraged those who made this profession to be baptized. And we want to notice in a very special way the teaching Scripture has on baptism at this time. Why should we be baptized? What's the reason for being baptized? Is it a vital part of Christianity? The Lord Jesus, as he went back to heaven and was gathered with the disciples on the mountain, before he went back up to be with the Father, said this, and we read these verses in Matthew 28. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to do all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In this commission, this great commission as it's often called, where the Lord Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and to proclaim his message, baptism is a vital part. And so we say that as we consider Christianity, we have to say it's a part, a basic part of the Christian message, baptism. It's commanded by the Lord Jesus. If for no other reason, if we could see no sensible reason for being baptized, if it had no meaning, no significance, as far as we could see, still, if the Lord Jesus commanded it, this should be enough. And he told his disciples, you go, you make disciples, you preach the gospel, make the disciples, and then you baptize them. And his commandment is sufficient authority for our doing this. And the person who has received Christ should want to obey. There's something very drastically wrong if a person says, I'm a Christian. And yet if he hears about baptism and hears about the will of the Lord for his life, he rebels and he says, well, I don't want to do that. Or I don't see that I need to do this. And baptism here is a part of God's will for the young convert. The Lord Jesus said, you go and preach the gospel and you baptize. And these apostles, as they went and proclaimed the message of God's grace, immediately began to tell those who heard the message, now if you've accepted Christ, you should be baptized. This is God's will for you. And when we as sinners turn to the Lord and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then there's a submission of our wills to his, isn't there? Now we should be desirous of pleasing him. And if I am shown from the Word of God this is what God wants, then my response as a Christian should be, well, Lord Jesus, I love you and I want to please you. if this is what you want, this is what I want to do. Now, what is the purpose of baptism? Is there any purpose? And we would say, yes, there is. The Lord Jesus wants his disciples to take an open public stand. Now, you can be saved privately and secretly. You can become a Christian with nothing but the Bible sitting in a room. Because this matter of becoming a Christian is a transaction between you and God. No other person's involved. You will never come to God through another man. You come to God only through the Lord Jesus, through your faith in him, through your acceptance of him. And you can do this privately. I became a Christian in my home, not in a church building, but as I heard the gospel and as I looked at the word of God, as I saw the promises of God's word, I accepted Christ in the privacy of my own home. However, the Lord Jesus does not want our Christianity to be a private matter. A private Christian, a secret Christian, is really a useless Christian. The Lord Jesus wants us to be known as Christians. He'd be open in our witness. And this is something that's lacking in many areas today. There are many people in this country that think that you can be a Christian and you just keep it to yourself and you don't need to tell anyone. This is not the New Testament concept at all. If you know the Lord, if you can say, I love him, he died for me, then God wants others to know this is your position as well. He wants you to tell others. And baptism is this first public step, this open act of identifying with the Lord Jesus, this open act of proclaiming to all, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I love him. I want to serve him. And it's not a secret thing. Now the Lord Jesus told his disciples, you remember, you're the light of the world. He could say this of himself, and when he went away, he left disciples here to be the light of the world. And light is not secret. Light is something that's open, that's a beacon, that guides, that blazes, that shines, that's obvious. And this is what God wants us as Christians to be. And baptism gets us started in this pathway of open public confession. Now, what was the mode of baptism? Well, we can go back to Christ's example. And you remember he was baptized by John the Baptist. And in Matthew 3 and verse 16, if we read, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. Now it says when he was baptized, he went up from the water. The Lord Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. He and John went down into the water. At the conclusion of the baptism, he came up out of the water. And surely this would indicate that Jesus was baptized by being immersed, by being put under water. John himself chose Enon to baptize, and we read this in John 3 and verse 23, because there was much water there. He was apparently not just doing sprinkling, he could have used a canteen or a pot for this purpose, but he must have much water. Why? Because when he baptized, he put them under the water. This is the very meaning of the word itself, the thought of putting under water. And when this was done, of course, it was done as the Lord Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 28, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The person who was baptizing and the one being baptized both proclaimed the fact that this one who is being baptized has accepted the Lord Jesus and belongs to God and wants to proclaim this fact to all who are present. Now, there's a symbolic meaning to baptism. Many who are baptized don't perhaps realize the significance, the symbolism. They're doing it just because the Lord told them to. And this is good, but there is a symbolic meaning. And I want to read a few verses in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Now what is the symbolism here? And I want to emphasize that the water itself has no value. The water of baptism is no more holy than the water you take your bath in every week, or more often. It is not holy in itself, but there's a symbolism involved here. The scripture over and over again hits this idea of ritualism. A ritual, a form, has no value for you spiritually speaking in itself. In the Old Testament days, Israel was fond of trusting circumcision and was laying a great deal of stock in this matter that they'd gone through the outward rite. And over again, the prophets came with a message saying it's not the outward act. It's not the ritual. God wants circumcision of the heart. In other words, he wants a changed heart. Doing something to your body is meaningless unless there's a change of heart first. And so as we think of baptism, we would emphasize this, that the ritual itself, in itself, has no value. But it does have a symbolic meaning that is very wonderful to the Christian. And he says here that it pictures a death and a burial. When the Lord Jesus was hanging upon the cross, when he was agonizing there, when he was suffering, he was paying for my sin. He was suffering in my place. He was my substitute. And God says, when I accepted him as my Savior, that now I am so identified with him that God sees me as having died with the Lord Jesus, because he was my substitute, taking my place. And then God sees me as having been buried with the Lord Jesus, so linked to him, so identified with him, that his death becomes my death, his burial is my burial, and so we picture this in baptism, don't we? The person is put under the water, a picture of burial. He comes up out of the water. And this pictures the resurrection and the fact that now he's going to live a new life. He's risen with the Lord Jesus. He's going to live a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Wonderful truth, isn't it? I hope if you're a Christian, something of this truth has come home to your heart. And I hope you're thankful today that your sins have been taken care of and that you're linked with Christ. You belong to him. You're trusting him. His death is your death. And now you're going to live a new life for him. And baptism pictures this. I hope you've been baptized if you're a Christian.